I would have you turn your Bible to a certain passage this morning, but we're going to be all over the place, and I think I've got most all the scriptures on our PowerPoint, so if you want to just follow along with that, or if you want to turn to those passages, I would invite you to. I love to hear the flipping of the pages. We're going to be talking about the promises of God this morning. The promises of God. Man, I love... Rob, I love when you brought that passage, that song to mind. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but thank God, Jesus washed it white as snow. That's why we're here this morning. We've been cleansed. There's no way for a sinful human being to have a relationship with a holy and a righteous God, unless somehow our sins are taken away. It's not that we've just been given a bath, that we've been washed up. It's not the removal of dirt from our body, but it's the fact that Jesus paid it all. He became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And because Jesus paid it all, we can now enter into the presence of God. We can boldly come before his throne because Jesus is our high priest who has offered his blood as that sacrifice for us. That's good stuff. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate your words this morning. The promises of God. If after everything that we read and everything I might say this morning, if you can walk out of here and say to yourself, God keeps his promises, then it will be a success. Everything will be good. So I want you to know this, that God keeps his promises. Say that with me. God keeps his promise. If you can leave here this morning with that in your mind, it'll be good. God keeps his promises. And from time to time, if I say it, church, I want you to say, God keeps his promises. All right. There are many, many promises of God in Scripture. In each promise, God pledges that something will or something will not be done or given or come to pass. And these are not flippant. These are not casual promises that sometimes you and I might tend to make. The promises of God are rock solid, unequivocal commitments made by God himself. If God has made a promise, he will keep it because God is faithful. The recipients of the divine promises can have full assurance that what God has pledged will indeed be realized. So we're going to look at just a few of the promises that God has made. These are promises of God in the Old Testament. God promised to bless Abraham, and through his descendants, he was going to bless the whole world. Well, I jumped ahead of myself. Numbers 29, let's look at this. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does God speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Now, he's writing this in a rhetorical fashion. The answer is, no, God is not a human. He's not going to lie. He's always going to keep his promises. If God says it, he's going to do it. And so, now we come to the first promise here that God made to a man named Abram, changed his name to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is a promise that God makes to Abraham, that God is going to bless him, but through Abraham and through his seed. We know from Galatians 3 that that seed was Jesus, that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Not just Israel, but all nations would be blessed. This promise, called the Abrahamic covenant, pointed to the coming Messiah for whom Abraham looked. See if I have John here. Nope, I don't. God promised Israel to be their God and to make him his people. Old Testament history is just teeming with examples of God fulfilling his promise. God promised that if we search for him, we'll find him. Look at this, Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. We don't just casually stumble through life hoping that maybe we'll stumble onto God, or that maybe we'll find a little bit of him. Notice what he writes here. If you seek the Lord, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all of your soul. Are we thirsting? Are we hungry for God? Are we seeking him with everything that is in us? God is not playing hard to get. Our God is near us whenever we pray to him. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. God's not hiding from us. He wants us to find him. And we will if we seek him with all of our heart. God promised protection for his children. Turn to Psalm 121. I didn't put this on the screen because it's a little bit lengthier. It's not a lot, but I want to read Psalm 121. A song of ascents. This is what they would sing as they would ascend the hill of Jerusalem on the way to the temple. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God was the vigilant watchman over Israel, their protector. God also promised that his love would never fail. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. If you were here last night, then you sang that song with us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. God promised that his love would never fail. He is faithful in every way, in every way. God promised Israel that their sins could be forgiven, their prosperity restored, and their nation healed. Some of you have seen this. This has been a very popular verse over the last several years. You'll see it in front yards of people at times. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, this is a promise not necessarily to us today, but it's something I think that we can look at what God did in the past, and we can go ahead and claim that promise if we want to for ourselves. But notice what he says. Sometimes we say, God just loves unconditionally. God just loves everybody unconditionally. Notice what he says to his people. If they will humble themselves. If they will humble themselves. And then what? If they will pray and seek my face. Seek my face. And then what? Turn from their wicked ways. Does God expect something of us? Does God expect something from us? Knowing what God has done for us, knowing that Jesus paid the price, knowing that our sins were just like crimson, but Jesus cleansed that stain. He washed us white as snow. Does that mean that God wants something from us? Should we do something in response to that? I got one yes. God desires for us to love Him. God doesn't need us to love Him. There's nothing that we can do that God needs. There's nothing good that we could bring to God. But God desires to partner with us as His people. We were talking about this morning in prayer. James was bringing up that he and Lisa were reading in, I think, 2 Corinthians, where we, along with God, are doing things. Not just doing things for God, but God is coming alongside of us. His Holy Spirit is living in us to help us, to partner with us, to do good things for Him and in His kingdom and in this world, to make this world a better place. But God does expect something from us. Repentance opened the road to fellowship and blessing. Repentance opens up a whole new world of blessing with God. God, under the terms of the Mosaic Covenant, promised prosperity to Israel for obedience, but He also promised destruction for disobedience. That's not a promise we want to claim, is it? But that's exactly what happened. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I commanded you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. God has done everything for us, for His children, but He expects us to come alongside of Him and to partner with Him and to obey His decrees and His laws. And when we do, blessings come our way. Unfortunately, Israel eventually chose to disobey, and the nation was destroyed by Assyria, by the Babylonians, captivity. It was not pretty. God promised blessing for all who will delight themselves in His word. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Did it not go? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Those are just some of the promises of God in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Now I want us to look at some promises of God in the New Testament. God keeps His promises. Say it with me. God keeps His promises. Let's look at some things in the New Testament. God promised salvation to all who believe in His Son. Look at Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Did I say the church in Corinth? This is to the church in Rome. I heard it sound, didn't sound right when I said it. But still, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. This salvation is available to everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. There is no greater blessing than the free gift of God's salvation. That is the greatest gift ever known to mankind. But thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, the gift of Jesus, the salvation that comes through knowing Him and through obeying Him. God promised that in all things, that all things would work out for the good of his children. Romans 8:28. Maybe one of your favorite verses that comes out of one of the power chapters of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice what it does not say. It does not say that all things are good. Everything that happens to you in the life of your Christian journey is going to be good. That's not what it says. But it says that God can work in whatever happens. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And that's also contingent upon loving God. Because we've got to love him. Those who love him, God's going to work for good in our lives. Not that we get everything we want. Not that everything that happens to us is good. But we talked about this in our Bible class. When we can see that there's something out there, when we know that there's a purpose for our suffering, a purpose for our sickness, a purpose for this death, sometimes when we don't even understand it, we know that God is working. And he's going to work things out for our good if we love him and if we've been called according to his purpose. God promised comfort in our trials. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That's a whole lot of comfort in that verse, isn't it? I mean, comfort, comfort, comfort. God comforts us in our trials so that we can experience that comfort and we can share that comfort with somebody else. Somebody else that needs comforting. That's why God does that for us, because he loves us, and so that we can in turn be a blessing to someone else. God promised new life in Christ. Oh, I love this verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Jesus is making all things new. Salvation is the beginning of a brand new existence. Salvation is not the end. It's not the terminus. It's not the end of our journey when we find salvation. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey where God blesses us so that we can in turn be a blessing to the world around us. God promised every spiritual blessing in Christ. Look at this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you understand that? Sometimes my mind just goes when I read something like that. My wife says it's not a really big explosion, but my mind just goes, boom, you know. She's singing it. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You understand that there's a spiritual world out there that we cannot see, but it is every bit as real as the one we can see, maybe even more real, I don't know. But we've been blessed in that heavenly realm with all spiritual blessings. You see, everything that Jesus deserves, you and I get. Every blessing that Jesus deserves, we get, not because we're good, but because he's good. Not because we've done anything righteous, but because he is the righteous one. Because he came as a man. He took that burden of our sins on his shoulders. He went to the cross. And because we put our faith and our trust in him, God says we get everything he gets. We are all sons and daughters. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of us who are baptized into Christ have what? Have put on Christ. We've clothed ourselves with Christ. And so all the blessings that Jesus deserves, I get. You get. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Whereas in the Old Testament, Israel had the promise of a physical blessing, the church today has been promised spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. Our inheritance is reserved for us. That's 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. God promised to finish the work that he started in us. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If God has started a work in you, God will finish it. God doesn't do anything in half measures. God started it, he's going to see it through to completion. God keeps his promises. Say it with me. God keeps his promises. And he will do it. God promised us peace when we pray. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, look at this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Is your heart anxious? Are you troubled? Trouble with family, trouble with children, trouble at the office, trouble at church. What's that song we sing, Steve? Trouble in my way. Sometimes we just got trouble. But if we'll just take it to the Lord in prayer, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. No need to be anxious. God promised to supply our needs, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What things? Well, in the context, he's talking about physical things that we need to live. We need houses, and we need food, and we need clothing. If you'll seek God and his kingdom first, if you'll seek his righteousness, God's going to provide all of that. He's going to make sure that his children have what they need. I think I've got Philippians up here. Yeah. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God is not want his children to do without. He's not talking about getting everything that we want, but that our needs will be taken care of. We are more valuable than the birds of the air, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. He takes care of them. How much more will he take care of his children? God keeps his promises. Now let's look at Jesus' promises in the gospel. Just a few, and then the message will be yours. Jesus promised us rest. Look at this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't really resonate with us a lot. I guess those back in Jesus' day were from a very gregarian society. They were farmers and they raised cattle and sheep. They would have understood this. A yoke is that wooden board looking thing that they put over oxen to pair them together. Two beasts of burden that they would pull together. And because that yoke is on there, one can't just go right and one go left. They have to work in tandem, right? They have to work together. If they don't, it's not going to go well. And Jesus says, I want you to take my yoke upon you. And it's not heavy. It's not a burden. It's light. It's easy. You know why? Because Jesus is doing all the heavy lifting. Jesus has done it. He's done everything. And he just wants us to come alongside of him. Take my yoke upon you. I'm the one who's lifted the load. I'm the one who's carried the cross. So he just wants us to come alongside of him and yoke ourselves with him. So where he goes, we go. Where we go, he goes. And it's not a burden. It's light. It becomes light and easy because Jesus has done all the work. And we just come alongside of him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. God keeps his promises. Say it with me. God, Jesus promised abundant life to those who follow him. You know this passage. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or have the abundant life. What that says to me is that there are people all around us who are living life. Everybody that's walking on the face of the earth today has life. They have something that's animating them, and they're living and they're breathing, they're eating, they're laughing, whatever they're doing. But that's different than the abundant life. That's different than the eternal life that you can only receive by being in Christ. And that's what Jesus is talking about. The thief, he's actually talking about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in that context, but ultimately all of that goes back to Satan. All he wants to do is to steal what God has given you, to pluck away the word of God that's been planted in your heart and your life. He wants to steal that. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to cause that depression and that anxiety and that fear. And Jesus says, no, no, no. That's not what I'm about. I'm about rest. I'm about peace. I'm about giving you life, the abundant life. And he's promised that to those of us who would come to him and obey him. Following Jesus brings us more spiritual fulfillment than we could have ever anticipated. It leaves boring behind. I was thinking about that last night when Steve asked us all to gather around 3,000 of us that came, and he said, everybody come around here and gathered around, had a few folks up on the stage, and everybody was kind of gathered around, and we sang a couple of songs. And to the world, to people of the world who don't have the mind of Christ, it probably would have looked just silly. It would have looked foolish. What are they doing singing about God? Singing about Jesus? What is this? And yet people were all gathered around here, smiles on every face, hearts lightened, just the fellowship of being with each other and knowing that the Holy Spirit of God was in our presence as we were singing praises to him. Nothing foolish about it. It's the wisdom of God on display. Jesus promised eternal life to those who trust him. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. This, he's talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. That's our context. Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He's talking about that Holy Spirit that's going to live inside of us, welling up into eternal life. That's one of the promises that Jesus has made. The Good Shepherd also promised to hold us securely. He says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. No one. That's John 10:28. Jesus promised his disciples power from on high. This is right before he ascended back to the Father. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, and then all Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. He says, I'm going to give you power. That's a promise that Jesus made to his disciples. And I would dare say that it wasn't until that time that everything started to click. Before that time, they were so scattered in their minds. And Jesus says, you just wait. You stay there in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit. And then once they got the Spirit, He said, that Spirit is going to bring all things back to your mind. It's going to make you remember everything. Everything that I've taught you, everything that I've said to you is going to start to make sense. And that's exactly what happened. And it was that moment, from that moment forward, that we see amazing things happening. The beginning of the church, all the way to where we are today, because of the promised Holy Spirit. In that power, they turned, Acts chapter 17 says, they literally turned the world upside down. Not because of their own power, but because of the power of God, the Spirit of God working in them and through them. Jesus promised that he's going to return for us. John 14, oh, you know this passage. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. From then on, we will be with him always. There are so many more promises of God that we could talk about this morning. All of them ultimately find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of God's glory. That's Hebrews 1 and verse 3. But no matter how many promises God has made, the answer is always yes in Jesus Christ. The answer is always yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Can I be forgiven? Yes, in Jesus Christ. Can I have fellowship with other people? Yes, because of Jesus Christ. Can I overcome my depression and my anxiety? Yes, because of Jesus Christ. All of the promises that God has made, the answer is yes, and his name is Jesus. Because of Jesus, because of what he has done, the answer is always yes. The only question I have for you this morning is, have you said yes to Jesus? If not, then you need to do that.